Father, I just pray today as we come before you to give honor and glory to you on the day that we celebrate your birth. We know this is not your birthday. Those of us are mature enough and studied enough to know that you were born in the summer months. But this is the month that for some reason have become the time that we celebrate your birthday. We want to just honor you and thank you for the opportunity to be here and fellowship with you, with those who decided that it's not a holiday to hang out and go shopping or open presents, but to come and celebrate who you are in our lives. We've decided to make you first. We've decided to make you priority. We've decided to keep you as the author and finisher of our faith, the first priority of our lives. And we're not perfect and we make mistakes, but the things that we have control over, we've decided to give to you. The things that we're aware of, we've decided to let go to you. And we're still deciding every day. It's the process. So help us through this process. And we thank you, Lord God, that you don't hold our faults against us, but you deal with and keep our repentances real, and you treat us according to those. We love you, we trust you, and we thank you that everybody receives the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, it's funny, Rhonda, you got up here and you started quoting scriptures from the message, and that's fine because what else are you going to say on a day like today? That's the scripture. That's the one. But before we do that, I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 7. And I want you to start at verse 11. Are we there? Let me know when we're there. Isaiah 7, 11. 7, 11. I'm going to begin. I'm reading out the NIV. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Asher said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. He understood the principle that the scripture said you are not supposed to put the Lord to vain test. You're not supposed to ask for a sign. Jesus even said later on, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and none should be given to them. But here's the key. Save or accept that of the prophet Jonah. So let me just make sure I make a clear establishment. Based on that word, asking God for a sign is not sinful. Asking God for a self-serving sign is sinful. Asking God to clarify to you or show you or give you something to help you understand what he's doing or what dispensation we're in or what's going on in my life that I need to change is not sinful. Asking God, well, God, if you really God, can you please give me this job that I want? Now, asking for the job is not wrong, but asking God to prove himself by giving it to you, that's dangerous. So my job is to help us understand the balance. Because he said no sign will be given them except, and then he went on and gave a sign that was prophetically in line with his word as, but this will be. So asking God to show you the sign of the times and what's going on is real. Asking God to do something to prove himself to you, it's a bad thing to do. So he understood the scripture about not asking God for a sign, and his position was, I'm not touching that. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And then Isaiah said, hear now, you the house of David, it is not enough to try the patience of humans. He's asking a question. Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. Now, people say, so how come his name is Jesus and not Emmanuel? Okay, first of all, it's not spelled with an E. Second of all, it's Emmanuel, which is a Hebrew word, not a name. They didn't say his name will be. You will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel is Hebrew for God with us. And he will be called God with us. Understand something about names and titles in the Jewish culture. You had a long night, Mitchell? You shouldn't be up partying that late. Sit up straight and don't be over there nodding out. Yeah, And he's nodding out. But they're up there partying all night, turning up. You can't do that. So listen. And I'm going to be quick, so stay with me. Listen. Names in the Hebrew are definitions of such, or of certain things. They didn't say, your name is Michael. Why? Because when I say Michael, you respond. It had a meaning. The name meant something. When he called the son Jacob, Jacob means swindler. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, don't call your kid that. He was called swindler. The names were names to us, but to them, they're phrases or sentences. Got it? So when he said Emmanuel, he shall be called Emmanuel, he was saying to them, a child would come from a virgin. He would be born on this earth, but it would be God with us. He will be called God amongst us. Got it? So let me move past that. But did you understood that part? All right. So God made a challenge to them through the prophet Isaiah to ask for a sign. Their religious response, and I want you to just to get this real quick because I don't want to stay long, but I want you to get this real quick. Their religious response was to say, religiously, we don't do that. Stay with me for a minute. I'm just going to make a point here, but it's an important point. Because religion, he said, you by your traditions have made the word of God of no effect, is recorded. So sometimes we get so into trying to be religiously right that we become spiritually dead. So they were now to the point that they took the word, don't test God, to the point that they didn't even seek God anymore for revelation. Now, this is important that I make this point, because I grew up with the little church knowledge and understanding I had with people saying to me, you don't ask God questions. Have you ever heard that? Let me see your hand. Don't you ask God no questions. So I was, oh, Dad, you can't ask God nothing. Then I start seeing, you have not because you ask not. Asking you should receive. Seeking you should find. Knocking the door should open. I'm like, wait a minute, but I heard you're not supposed to ask you nothing. So then I saw the Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great things you know not of. I'm like, okay, so do I listen to church people who've told me my whole life that I can't ask God anything, or do I listen to the word of God that says, ask me? So then it becomes the question, what do you ask? You've been given authority, then it becomes the question, what is the purpose of that authority? They claim a new house and a new car in Jesus' name. I brought a special offering to the pastor, and he said, yeah, your life is too one-dimensional if all your prayers is about how God could advance you. You're not used for the kingdom. You live here and you take up oxygen, but when you die, you just cease to exist because you don't pray for things that enhance and better God's kingdom purpose. You pray for things that better you. And I'm not against you praying for things that better you on the behest of God's leading, not just because you feel you need something so bad. And I don't want to stay on this, but I do want to make this point. I'll be 58 in a couple of days. Yeah, 60 is getting real close. It's a scary looking number. I don't like it. I even looked in the mirror the other day and said, you do look older. You know, I did. No, I looked at some old pictures. I look older. I ain't got that little cute, smooth skin I had when I was, you know, in my 20s. It's got some old man look to it happening. There's a little stuff happening there. Let's just be real. Listen, I can be real with stuff. But here's what I noticed, though. What's you mumbling over there? Okay. Here's what I noticed. As I get older and I look at things, I'm realizing there's certain things that I make a big deal out of that a day later I look at and go, that wasn't such a big deal. Something was so important to me when I sought it, but then when I received it, it was like, so, now what? Because we can be so narrow-minded and I need to be important or special to ourselves, we miss the greater good that God's put us here for. And I will end it with that. If my focus is God's greater good, I'm more successful, I'm more happy, I'm more at peace, I'm clearer, I find that confusion doesn't linger at my door like it used to so many years of my life when I sought my own well-being above God's leading. I'll leave it there. I think that's a good place to just let that rest, and let's move on, get these last couple of scriptures in here so we can pray. I want you to go with me to Isaiah now, 9. Now, for some reason, this app, that's why I like my iPad. This app don't act as good on the phone as it does on the pad. I'm touching my verses, and it's taking me where it wants to take me. Chapter 9. Starting at verse 7. No, not at 7, I'm sorry, at 5. Ready? Every warrior's boot is used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. But for us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So, we talked about a child that will be born in chapter 7. That will be God with us. Then he goes on in chapter 9, which lets me know the conversation continues. And he talked about every warrior's boot in battle and garment rolled in blood is destined to be burning. Now, it's nice to quote the scriptures and he should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But it's in contrast to something. He talked about the war that men fight or that humans fight or the things that you do to obtain a government or have peace. Those things that have, how many are familiar with war and war council in terms of the governments of the world and Geneva peace conventions and treaties and United Nations? How many are really kind of like pay attention to that kind of stuff? I pay attention to that kind of stuff a little bit because I've always been amazed that you can tell anybody, be they a dictator or whatever, to sit at a table with you and sign a treaty saying you won't continue to kill people and then expect that because they signed that paper, they're going to now honor it and do what they said they would do. So you really thought that if you sat at a table and said, okay, here's the deal. You can't kill the whole population, but a third of them. See, we don't understand that this is the kind of stuff that we call civilized society. We sit at a table and we agree to what kind of killing is just distasteful. We can't do this. Now, a lot of you may not know this, but when the shotgun was first invented and we took it into war, the people on the other side said, this is a brutal way to kill each other. And they signed an agreement not to use shotguns. You can kill each other, bayonet, regular rifles. Shotguns are too messy. The corpses are coming home. They don't look right. Let's find a... And they came to this agreement that shotguns won't be used to kill. We'll kill, but not with shotguns. This is man's resolution to conflict. He said, but there's one coming. He will be the counselor. You know, right now Trump is picking on his counselors. All elected officials do. They're saying there will be a counselor that's coming. The government will be on his shoulder. See, I don't want to like to just read the scripture. Oh, that's so nice. They're talking about Jesus. But I want you to understand what they're explaining. He's saying all bloody garments will be rolled up and burned eventually. But a child is born. A son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulder. Now, I'm looking forward to this government. But I don't think we have to wait to heaven to start to get instruction from that counselor. I don't think we have to wait till the new world comes before we start to hear from that counselor. I don't think that we as Christians, are you listening to me? To put everything off to heaven someday. The church is supposed to be hearing from their counselor now. I want my government, the government of my life, to be on his shoulder. I can't tell you what to do. I won't even try to. We keep talking about the government, meaning the civil governments of the world. What about the government of your own life? I want the governor of my life to be on his shoulder. I don't want that responsibility because I suck at it. That's my feeling. I want him to be, right now, my wonderful counselor. And then it says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So I'm just going to, before I go to the next verse, I just want to end it on this note. He said, ask the Lord for a sign. The religious leader said, no, I'm not testing God and asking him for a sign. He said, but you ought to ask him for this sign. And this is the sign you ask for. His provision, his direction. I'll wait till you finish. His division, his direction, his provision for us. What's the phrase I'm looking for? Is why he saved us. He saved us so that we can depend on him. Did you get that? I'm trying not to go long, but I want to make this point. He told them to ask for direction, a sign from God of what his future is, what he's doing. Then he told them what it was. A child will be born of a virgin, and he will be God with us. Say, God with me is his promise. Say it again. God with me is his promise to me. So you understand what I'm saying? He there's a plan that I'm trying to make sure we see. I'm not just trying to preach a Christmas message. God didn't just send Jesus to die for you so you can go to church and be a Christian. He sent him into a world that already turned itself over to the hand of the enemy to give us options outside of what we've accepted as life and the best life can give us. There's things we've settled for and do settle for every day that are so beneath God's counsel, God's best for us. So, then he goes on to say, he will be our governing source. Right now, and to that peace there's no end. All right? I want to say, I had two more verses, but I want to think I want to kind of bring it home on this. Go with me to John chapter 12, verse 37. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the prophecy of the word of Isaiah, the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message, and whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe because, as Isaiah said elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn that he would heal them. This is where I want to bring it home. God sent Jesus to be a governor. He sent Jesus to be a guide in a direction. He sent Jesus to be Lord. And this is where I want to bring it home. Because church focuses on, are you listening? Yes, Jesus Christ as Savior. When you talk about church, you talk about Savior. And when people say Lord and Savior, they still mean Savior. Right. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. What does that mean? That means when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, that's the Savior part. Right. The Lord part is different. Right. Lord is governor. Lord is decision maker. Lord is counselor. That means in order for him to be your Savior, know the Savior comes second. He's got to be Lord first. Lord means you say it, I do it. You're the boss, you call the shots, and whatever you say, I do. Church has become, Jesus, you're my get out of jail free card, but I lord my own life. I make my own decisions. I do what's best for me and ask for your help as I do what I believe you should like. That's a beset lifestyle. That's a stuck-in-place lifestyle. That's a always believing but never receiving lifestyle. That's a always claiming but never coming. Always, it says always hearing, always listening, never coming to the knowledge of truth. They just never come to it. It's just they go to church to be excited about the week. But Jesus is not Lord. Because if he's Lord, he tells you to stop things that you don't want to stop. He tells you to do things that you don't want to do. He tells you to apologize when you don't think you're wrong. Come on now. He doesn't make it a cakewalk. Just tell me what you need. Call on me when you need me. And I'll see what I can do to get that fixed for you. Lord means you tell me what to do. And I'll do it. I tell a little story, short story, but it's a little story. I remember I was saying when we were poor and homeless, I want to be in a place one day I could give away a car. And I never forget when we finally, God started to move me up in the computer field and I started making good money and we had this used Jeep. Fixed it up, did work to it, but it was an old Jeep. And we had a car that we bought new, brand new, was a Neon, Dodge Neon. So that was our new car. Boy, have things changed. An old Jeep and a Neon. And we was riding high. God had proven himself further than he probably could to us at that time. Two cars. A used one that I could almost put my foot out the bottom and run it like the Flintstones. And a new car, brand new car, Neon. And Pastor Fontaine needed a car. He wasn't Pastor Fontaine at that point. He lived in Connecticut. He was coming down to church. And I said, God, I want to give him a car. You know which car I had in mind. The Jeep. Well, I couldn't give them any honor. I was still paying, making payments on that. It's, you know, come on, I had my logic. And God said, good. It's good. Give them the neon. I was like, okay, hold up. Okay, this was my idea, God. It wasn't yours in the first place. I came up with this. Now, how are you going to just take over it and tell me how I need to do it? I mean, I could see if you came to me and said, give it to him. I came to you and said, I want to give him a car. And then you just took over the whole show. He said, I'm God. I do stuff like that. Give him the new car. I said, but I'm not finished paying for it. He said, are we in agreement or are we not? No, because God is real short like that. He's real warm and loving, but he's like, he said to me, it's your car. You can do what you want. I'm telling you what I want you to do. He said, you don't want to give him the old car. Do you want him and his family coming out from Connecticut and breaking down in that old car? No. Give him the new one. So I asked for a sign. I said, Lord, if you give me the money to pay the car off and to get a new one, then I know it's you. A couple of weeks later, I got a check. It was enough to pay that one off. It wasn't enough to get a new one. It's about $20 left after I paid that one off. I don't think you could pay down on a new car with $20, at least not that I knew of. But I obeyed, and I did it. Well, I got cars, and I've given cars away since then. And I think about it, and I think about it, and I go, you know, I had the choice at that moment to not obey. I had the choice to reason within myself that can't possibly be God, because why would he want me to give away my new car? But it gave me the opportunity. Don't ever say God does stuff to see what you would do, because that's the stupidest thing in the world. God knew what I was going to do. It gave me the opportunity to see what I would do. It gave me the opportunity to see how much I really loved and trust God, how far I was willing to go for God. And let me just tell you, he stretched it past since then. Cars or nothing. But my thing is this. God wants to be Lord. And he's better at it than you. He is smarter than you. It may sound challenging. It may sound unfair at the time. But trust me when I say this. He is smarter. He didn't just come to die so that we can celebrate Christmas Day. He came to die for us so that he can take over and guide us from making the stupid decisions like Adam made in the garden that threw the whole world into turmoil. That Abraham made when he decided to get with the slave woman that gave us a whole nation that's been against us to this day. He made Christ available so that we can hear from God directly again. Amen. That we can get clear direction. You don't have to hear from Pastor. I'm just here to teach you the word, but you're not supposed to hear from me. I'm not supposed to be your guide and direction. You're supposed to read your word, and you're supposed to get your own guidance and direction. So, let him be Lord, not just a Christmas thing. Let him be your guide and direction. He's better at it than you, I, anybody I know. Let him lead you to truth. He's the best way to do it. Amen. Stand with me a minute. How you doing? On this Christmas morning, on this Christmas day, I want us to reaffirm for ourselves who Lord is. We know he's Savior. We need to know he's Lord. I've decided the older I've gotten that that I don't want to make my decisions anymore. I want him to make my decisions, and then I want to rightfully and wisely decide if I want to follow the decisions he gives me. Because every decision gives us the right to say yes or no. God will never force you, beat you. You know, people say, well, God, see, God let that happen to you to show you something. No, that's a lie. There's a devil out there who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So God don't put no bad things in your life to teach you nothing. That's the devil's job. And it ain't to teach you nothing, it's to destroy you. Well, how come God let it happen? No, you've been given the authority and you let it happen. You've been given the authority over the enemy and you decided to follow him instead of the Lord. You decided to let the devil and the world and your desires Lord and not let Jesus Lord. Well, we can change that today. We can get on the road to progress. So just say this with me. Say, Father,
I make a decision
to let you, Lord, over my life.
I've protected myself.
I've been hurt by people.
I've been taken advantage of by people.
There's times life has done me wrong. But I decide today that my decisions, my self-protection only helps a little and it's short-lived. I need real protection and only you can give it. So I decide today to surrender myself to your lordship, your guidance, your direction. I choose to trust you as my Lord and my Savior and God of my life. Jesus, I know you died for me. So I decide to die for you to my own will and my own right. You know how I'm made. You know my shortcomings. You know my frailties. And you still died for me. What else can I do but surrender to you as my Lord and as my Savior today, right now, this day that we call your day of birth? I accept you as my Savior, my Lord, my guide and King. And I expect this year coming to be clear and evident. Not just to me, but everybody around me, that my life is different. My life is better. My life is in control because I've given the control to you. And I thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.